State Player back with you on this early Sunday morning on 720 WGN. So October is Italian-American Heritage Month, celebrating contributions made by Italians and Italian-Americans to society, specifically the arts, the humanities, and the sciences. 23 years ago, musician Fabrizio Rallo visited America with his family and the very next year called it home. And he's here in studio to share his story. Good evening, Mr. Rallo.
Good evening.
So tell me, what part of Italy are you from?
Well, originally, I was born in Venice in 1962, and then I lived all my young age there. I grew up in the beautiful city, and then moved to Padua later, and then started my family in the Venetian region. And then, you know, after, you know, a while, like you said, in 1995, we decided to move to the United States.
Now, what was Italy like in the 1960s? I know you go back there often and visit family. What was it like back then?
Well, 1960s was really, you know, everything was booming. The industries, I remember, I have a few memories. My dad was a math teacher back then. And then, so he was working in the middle school. And then he had a lot of, you know, he was originally from Marsala, Italy. And so Sicilian origin. But, you know, when he went to the Venetian region, everybody, you know, was very friendly. And then, like I said, economy was very good. Everything changed after a little bit, you know, 70s, the 80s. But, you know, nice and friendly environment. And Italian, they were, you know, of course, looking at maybe people coming from the south. But because my father was a teacher, he had a very good reputation, so everybody was looking at him like a Professor Rallo.
Very good. Very good. Very good. You're a man of many trades, but when you were a kid, you started playing the piano. What drew you to the piano? You had a piano in the house.
Yes. Actually, my father bought it for my older brother. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was only 5 years old. And then I saw this piano, and then I was tempted to sit, you know, on the bench, and I did. And then as soon as I sat on the bench, I had some jingles that I was listening on TV, and I started playing, and then my mom said, who's playing? I said, well, me, mom. How do you know? I said, it's all here. It's all in my head.
So you played by ear.
I played by ear when I was 5 years old, and I couldn't, you know, my mother and my father, they couldn't believe it. Said, you know, we send it to school, the older one. I think we should send him.
Nice. Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. But with that said, you know, I'm sure you still play by ear and you can sit down at the piano and play a tune. Is it harder for you to read music? Because I play by ear and I hate sitting down and reading music.
No. I read music too, because then when I was 10 years old, my father... Yeah. You know, and took me to the Conservatory of Padua, and then I studied there. So I didn't know how to read music until 10.
Okay.
But then, you know, the conservatory, they gave me, like, the preparation and everything, and I studied piano and cello there. So, and then I remember still my teacher of cello, he was a big guy, and he had big hands, and he was telling me, you have bad hands. Hold on, this cello. The cello was bigger than I was.
Yeah, gotcha. So the piano was more...
The piano was more like what I like. It's, yeah.
What kind of music did you listen to growing up?
Well, you know, when I grew up, I was listening more instrumental stuff.
Okay.
I was really a fan, and I still are, of the Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, okay.
I love that kind of music. I love, you know, all the... Richard Kleiderman, you know, tunes.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you know, all the instrumental, that's always been my, you know, but even, you know, the American songs like America, you know, the Led Zeppelin.
Sure.
You know, I was kind of a mix of this. So
it's a little pop culture.
Little pop culture and more like...
Classic.
Classic. Classic, like classical mix with pop.
Easy listening. Yeah.
Easy listening, right.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Music always a part of your life, but while you were still living in Italy, you opened up a jewelry store. How did that all come about?
Well, you know, economy was not really good in the 80s. And when I graduated, you know, in accounting, you know, I tried to look for a job. And then there was no job. And so I had to build, you know, basically when I was still going to university. And already I was married and I had my first son when I was only 21. I started making and making jewelry, buying semi-precious stones and other gemstones, and making jewelry myself.
Where did you find interest in that?
Well, you know, I had a cousin that was like, he told me, oh, you know, I can introduce you to this business, and he did. And I learned, you know, the hard way because, you know, I started from scratch. I didn't know anything about.
Sure.
I knew only accounting, and I was good in that. But the jewelry was something that it took me, like, to the next level. You know, I felt like I was great creating something, and I felt like it was something, even making a ring or making a necklace or something. I felt very, you know, pleased.
But that's in your blood, because, I mean, obviously you're an artist. So, I mean, doing music, you're an artist, and now you've used your hands to create something
exactly. Just
as beautiful. You came to the States in the mid-90s for vacation. Was that your first time in America?
Okay. Yes, 1994.
And it was your first time here, you know, and then you decided very quickly, nah, I'm going to go to America. What was your inspiration to do that?
Well, I was really successful in Italy as far as jewelry business, and I was making very good creation. I was selling all over Europe, making exhibition. And when I came to America, my family still, you know, my children, I had two children, and then they were still little. I saw the opportunity immediately that was coming in this country, even though, you know, I thought that, you know, it was a very big competitive business.
Opportunity in whatever you did, or did you see it from the jewelry perspective, or was it the music? I mean, what was your vision to move here?
Well, my vision was first for the jewelry. My music was hobby. And I was still playing.
Yeah. I mean, this is my hobby.
Yeah, it was my hobby, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the jewelry was the bread and butter of every day, of course, you know. But when I came here, you know, and then I decided to move, of course, legally.
Right. Yeah, good for you.
Because, you know, that was very, very difficult. And I went through a lot of interview from embassies. We had an office in London, and I was selling jewelry in London, England. And then from there, so I decided to move here. So I had to do interview and show balance and everything,
sure.
Balance sheet. But everything, like, you know, when I moved here, everything was like appealing the system. America is a great country, and then you can not just express yourself in the business, but you can really do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have, if you have an open mind.
Absolutely.
But if you have to respect, of course, what you're going to do with, and the community, where are you located? And that's what I learned. And then, you know, with the struggle of this and that, I bought a piano in 1997.
Wow.
And I said, I need to play.
I need to do this.
Was helping my... And that, you know, from a hobby became a profession.
Now, when you moved to the States... how did you pick? I mean, obviously, you've been in Chicago for a long time because I know your family. But why Detroit? What drew you to Detroit originally?
Well, Detroit had part of my family by my mother's side. They came in the 1920s,
mm-hmm.
And so basically was the sister of my grandma.
Okay, so somebody was here. So somebody, yeah. Okay,
and so, you know, when we came visit in '94. We came to this family, and then, you know, they were very welcome, and then was a trip that I can never forget. And my little daughter at that time was little. She threw a coin in the fountain in a mall, and she said, okay, what are you doing, Valentina? Oh, Dad, I put a coin because I wish I could come to this country.
Oh. Interesting.
And this is something, you know, that I never forget because, you know, now...
Talk about inspiration.
Right. I mean, she's 30 years old, but many things have been accomplished since we moved here. I have now family. I have grandchildren, and it's beautiful things.
So you're living in the country now, and now a few years later, kind of a tragedy that happened
yes.
In 1998. Tell me what happened.
In 99, March 29... March 29, 1999. Yeah, I was driving and on the road in Michigan, and then I went through a green light, and unfortunately, a semi drove at 60 miles an hour through the red light, and so took my car, and then basically they took me to the hospital. I couldn't even move. I lost my all my, you know, senses and everything, and then that was something that I, you know, almost paid with my life. And then I couldn't not even cut, you know, my meat or eat or sit down. And so I was basically paralyzed for 3 months until, you know, the good doctors in Michigan, they put me back on track. And then, you know, they really did a good job. And 18 months later, I went through, you know, a lot of painful things, and then, but I still have my hands and I still can play piano.
That's amazing.
That's the only thing that I thank God of.
So did, you know, coming to you're here in this country, you're excited to be here, this happens to you, did that get you down or did it give you more vigor to get up and recover and make something happen for yourself?
Well, you know, beginning with, you think like, God, why, you know, why this happened? I did so much, you know, and people were really responding to the music, because at that time I did already one CD. I published that back in 98, and people that were writing me letters, and they were like, they were so amazed about the music, and, you know, and said, God, what is all about this? You know, and then I was thinking about, after that, I became stronger and willing to do more. I felt like there's something, you know, I had to do more, not even for myself, but for the people that also, you know, they need.
Supported you.
Care of me. And then, you know, also the people that need help in other ways. And the music helped a lot, me too.
Yeah. You know, and you started writing a little bit more too.
Yes. I wrote another album. So I have 2 albums out. And then, you know, keeping receiving letter up to today. I have still people comment my music and sending me nice messages.
That's nice.
Something that, you know, I had a lady that she was sick with lupus, and she said, I can sleep at night since I'm listening to your music.
Music is therapy.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It absolutely is therapy.
It is.
How do you come up with the song titles?
The song title came up with, you know, thinking of my experience. You know, I was thinking that, for example, the title, The Stranger Soul, is one of the songs that I wrote, one of the first that they came up. And I was thinking about me and my wife, my family, living in the United States, and then going through a lot and try to make a living, establishing business, establishing everything. The struggle that I went through makes me, sometimes it made me a little bit fear, and made me also, you know, proud of being here, but at the same time, I felt like I still was a stranger.
Sure.
Because not many people knew about me.
Sure, sure.
I was still accommodating with this new reality of living. America was a great country, but still I have to make it through in order to be integrated with the whole community there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And this is how the music came out. So it was feeling pouring down from the heart. And that's why I call even my website, I said, Music from the Heart. Because this music has been wrote from my heart.
That's me.
Any song, that's any great. Song yeah. talks by itself. The music, like, doesn't have word. I don't have word in my song. But the music will tell you exactly the story.
Now, you've done these CDs. Do you perform live? Did you ever perform live?
Yes,
in clubs or restaurants? Or yeah.
Yeah. I did perform live at some Italian events, American Italian events, Michigan, in Chicago. I'm still working on some, you know, that can be done.
United Center, maybe.
I hope. I spoke with people in Ravinia, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's cool.
And we are, you know, we're working something maybe for the near future.
That's very
to do
cool.
Something,
but, look at that.
There will be something that eventually, you know, we are working with. It is not easy for an artist, when you don't have a big record label, but I'm sure that the music will speak for itself. It will take some. I'm working another new project, new album that I'm still in the work. And then I'm sure that little by little we'll go through. We've been in Chicago now about from 2009. So 2009 has been like
almost
9 years.
Yeah, almost 10 years. Yeah.
Everything goes slow. But is going the right direction.
Do you like performing live in front of an audience? Or do you like, you know, what's your favorite part of the music? Is it the writing? Is it the recording? Or is it performing live in front of other people?
I like to perform live. Mm. And I like, you know, also the part of creating that melody that takes the people's heart. And I remember, you know, when I perform live, the people that listen, they just listen to the music, and even have a cup of coffee or so, they relax and they are happy and they feel like, oh, I love this music. I love this music. And this is what makes me really part of that. And I feel like this is awesome. When you see people that feel better, live better, and, you know, you can relax with some kind of music, I felt like I made more than make like $1 million.
That's great.
This is more important.
That's great. And you've been here for almost 25 years, so you're consider yourself an American. You go back home, but I mean, you're
no. I feel this is my house.
Yeah,
America is my house. Even if I go to Italy,
yeah,
I feel like of course my Italian heritage is Italian.
Sure,
I cannot be, you know, but when I'm here, and even with the jewelry, you know, that I do, people, they have a jewelry from Italy, but they love the American community.
That's
true. The place where I am, the people that can come to me and say, hey, what's going on? Hey, like friends. And I feel this is great.
That's true.
This is a great feeling.
And your family, obviously, over these years has expanded.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Beautiful grandchildren, you know. I think, you know, I have three already. So,
congrats.
And also, you know, the fact that, you know, I can teach them some words in Italian. And then also,
right? Yeah, that's cool.
Exactly. And then, you know, they can listen Italian and English and some slang in Italian and some stuff, you know. Even, you know, my son-in-law or, you know, my daughter, that she was born here, the last one, the third one.
Yeah.
That she knows Italian, but sometimes I have to tell her how we say that in Italian as a slang or something. And she's like, how you say that? That
that's cool.
We say. So, I think the culture, you know, you pass to your children, to your family, whatever you learn in so many years. And this is what makes you like a proud father when you see your family, you know, growing and getting better, and see your grandchildren, the people that are going to stay here. Even because I remember, right, my father was telling me that my grandfather tried to come to the United States in 1908. But after 2 years, he went back to Sicily. So my father had a dream, said, I wish one day I could go to America. Remember when, before he passed away.
Right before you moved here.
Yeah, right before I moved. And then I remember Dad said, if you're not going, I'm going to go for you. And so this happened, and then I'm glad.
You carried on his dream.
That I carry on, you know, all this beautiful, beautiful, you know, sentimental things. And then the fact, you know, that some music came out also out of this. The story of my life coming, you know, with the music. Any title of my song as a story, as a meaning. Everything, you know, the first CD, there are songs that says a story. Another CD that says other different story and other. And I can explain, you know, many things, but if you listen to the music, you immediately understand the title.
So we bumped in with your music, and we're going to bump out with your music. You have a website that people can get CDs?
Yes, it's FabrizioRallo.com.
Fabrizio, thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate it, pal. All right, this is History is coming up next on 720 WGN.